Thank you, Betsy. Well, how many of you enjoy grammar? Anybody enjoy grammar? Wow. Interesting. You do too, eh? Wow. I would say you're all teachers, but I know you're not all teachers. Does anybody know what a contronym is? Anybody know what a contronym is? Richard, yes, continue. Right. So a contronym is a word that has two contrary meanings. A contronym, so it's a word, but it has two contrary meanings that are opposite. So like the word strike in English, strike means you hit something or you hit a tree, but also in baseball, a strike is when you swing and you miss something, right? So two contrary things. Or bound. Jimmy was bound for Ottawa, but then Sally was bound and thrown in jail, right? A contronym. It's a word that has two meanings that are different, contrary. And different languages, when you learn a different language, I just am so amazed when people are able to learn different languages and learn all of these idiosyncrasies of the language. It's so difficult. So good for you if you've learned a different language, moved to a different place, and had to learn a different language, because that is incredible. Well, it's not just English that has contronyms. The New Testament, the language of the New Testament, has these contronyms within it as well, in Greek. The Greek, Koine Greek, that Betsy read from, has this word for world, meaning cosmos. And cosmos means two things, and we'll get to that in just a second. So in our passage today, everyone hears the voice from heaven, and then Jesus says, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world." Right? Judgment. Jesus is saying, now's the judgment of this world. And I know maybe you're thinking, if you were here last week, John 3:16 and 17 said, "God so loved the world that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life." And he goes on to say, 17, "Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, to judge the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." So what in the world is going on here? We've got our case of a contronym. The world, cosmos, can mean God is for the inhabitants of the world, the people of the world, and also there's a judgment of the world, the way that the world thinks, the way that the value systems of this world. So two things, right? God is for the world, the people of the world, but God is also in judgment the way that the world thinks, and we're going to get into that. But the signal for all of this to happen is that the Greeks show up. I feel like there should be some sort of skit, but anyways, I love Greek people. I love the food, everything. But the Greeks show up, and Jesus is like, "That's it. I gotta die. Judgment is coming." They must have been like, "Hold the phone. Like, we just got to the temple. We're here, Lord." And then Jesus says, no, "My hour has come." He says, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. "Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." The Greeks, the non-Gentiles, showing up to the temple. Remember a few weeks ago, Jesus does some spring cleaning and he cleans out the temple where they're selling. That was for the Greeks. That was the area of the temple that the Gentiles could come. And Jesus is saying, you know, this is the time. It's come. Now's the time. As Pastor Tim Keller says, when Jesus sees the supposed unclean ones, the Gentiles, the outsiders, when he sees those coming and the insiders, the chief priests, the scribes, and the Pharisees, wanting to kill Jesus, he knows it's time for him to go to the cross. The issue is that the way of the cross runs against our world. our value systems, the way that we think in the world. And yet Jesus, instead of running into, he runs into the fire instead of running out of the fire. Most people, when they see fire, they run, right? This is a natural instinct. When I see a spider, I learn how to river dance and get the, you know what, out of there. But Jesus is going into the fire. He sees it and moves into it. It's contrary to our society. We are taught growing up to associate with the right people, to get into the right school, so that we can make the best relationships that will serve us in furthering our abilities so we can be the best people that we are. I'm not necessarily wrong with that, but it's just the way that our society runs. You know, America runs on Dunkin's. Well, our society runs on this kind of thing. We're conditioned to avoid suffering at all cost. This is just part of who we are as human beings. To make sure we have enough for ourselves. Often leaders are chosen with the mentality that might makes right. You know, it's particularly in non-democratic nations, and sometimes in democratic nations. Hope not. Vulnerability and compassion are seen as lesser than success. Giving people a chance isn't a priority. We value health, wealth, and wisdom. How contrary to the scandal of the cross. The man that hangs on the cross. Not wealthy, not wise, not healthy. Doesn't fit like a nice glove. We've seen it in the cult of celebrity, and yet a lot of celebrities are now waking up, realizing, like, look, the way that we are, people know that that's not the way the world is. They want an escape, and that's why we're here. That's why we watch, is we want an escape from this world. We do everything to preserve ourselves, anything to take the easy road. Caring for ourselves like a hypochondriac looks after his health. Yet where would we be without people willing to sacrifice? Where would we be without people willing to go into the fire when everyone else is going the other way? The good news of the gospel today is that Jesus Christ functioned as a contronym. Jesus is willing to give his right life for all of us in the world, and yet he's willing to judge it too. He's willing to say, the way that the world works isn't right. There is another way, and I'm going to show you that way. Thank God for Jesus. In John 12:32, Jesus says, when I'm lifted up, I will draw all people to myself. He doesn't give up on us. He doesn't give up on you, and people can be drawn to Jesus. Anyone can be drawn to Jesus. Whether we are successful in the ways of the world or not successful, we can be drawn to the Lord. He does this for all of us. In his death, Christ makes us God's own. He makes us God's own. We can't be driven to Christ. We can't be scared into believing in Christ. You can. But I remember growing up, I watched this documentary. It was called Hell House, okay? And it was Halloween, and they decorated the house, this person's house, like what hell would be like, right? And there was flames, and there was all sorts of bad stuff. And the people they would say, Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, or you're going to this place, right? What kind of starting point do you have? This isn't the Lord who gives his life for you. John says, we are drawn to Jesus by the cross. We're not forced. We're not scared. We're simply drawn like a magnet draws some metal. Boom, it's just right there. Like Elvis the cat being drawn to that piece of turkey. You know, we get drawn to Jesus. And it's wonderful. Jesus' faithful action in allowing himself to be rejected, to take on the world's sin and suffering, Jesus takes the fall for us. Falls into nothingness so we can fall into the Father's love. For sure, we can see the glory in the world. Have anybody go on any nice trips this summer? On my bucket list is the Grand Canyon. I'd love to go. I'd love to be on a motorcycle and go, but that's another story. But maybe it's that you would like to go to Whistler, to the peak of Whistler. Or maybe it's France, or Spain, or South America. And you get to see, you get to feel the glory of God. You get to feel God's presence in nature. And yet the ultimate way I think we get to see the glory of God is the cross. It's the cross. It shows us what this world is about, and the values of the world aren't the way that things really will be for eternity. God holds firm, Jesus holds firm to God's promises, and he's able to go and suffer because he knows that God is for him. Christ's action on the world's behalf makes us God's own. Well, there is a Chinese saying that goes, if you want happiness for an hour, take a nap. If you want happiness for a day, go fishing. If you want happiness for a year, inherit a fortune. If you want happiness for a lifetime, help somebody. If you want happiness for a lifetime, help somebody. I like this Chinese wordplay here. And I think Jesus would affirm this philosophy. And he put it this way. Those who love their life will lose it. Those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Lauren Eisley, from the book Unexpected Universe, she wrote that one day, we've heard this one before, there's a man walking on the beach, right? And he sees this boy. And this little boy is at the beach. You know, picture yourself on Florida Beach or something. And I don't know if there's starfish there. There's probably not. But he sees starfish all over the beach. And he starts picking one up at a time and throwing it in the water. And the waves come crashing down, and he keeps throwing. And the man comes over to him and says, what are you doing? And the boy says, throwing starfish into the ocean. The surf is up and the tide is going down. If I don't throw them back, they're going to die. Son, the man said, don't you realize that there's miles and miles of this beach? Hundreds and hundreds of starfish. You can't make a difference. And the boy bent down and he was playing around in the stand, and he grabbed a starfish and he threw it back into the ocean, and he said, I made a difference for this one. Right? Jesus falls into the ground and dies, and yet there is a harvest that produces many seeds which bear much fruit. As we follow him in making a difference in the lives of other people, by our sacrificial service, we participate in this harvest. In our workplaces, in our families, as a church, the Lord promises a harvest. Because really, only a life that's spent on others is a life that's worth living. A life that we can count on for eternity. We know that the world owes everything to people who have gone before us. We've seen this. Who have spent their time and talents on others for the good of humanity. Isn't this what it's all about? Mother Teresa did this. She gave up her comfortable teaching career, and she lived on 17 cents a day, you know, in her pocket. She went and challenged the life to be amongst the poorest of the poor in the crowded slums of Calcutta. We see similar cases in history of those who have made great sacrifices for the sake of others. William Booth, the man who started the Salvation Army, did this. He was the first general of the Salvation Army. And Booth once said, as he helped the people in London, while women weep, as they do now, I'll fight. While little children go hungry, I'll fight. While men go to prison in and out and in and out, as they do, I will fight. While there is a drunkard left, while there is a poor lost girl upon the streets, where there remains one dark soul without the light of God, I'll fight. I'll fight to the very end. God's grace is released into the world when we too spend our lives on others. When we serve God not to get the things that we want, but in response to God's amazing love for the world. In his death, Christ makes us God's own. Let us honor our Lord with our lives. Let us put our faith in action for the one who died for us. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, It remains just a single grain, but if it dies, it bears much fruit. Amen.